Hey Nicole, great to see you.
Hey, good to see you.
How's things? You're in Brooklyn, New York, correct?
Yes, I am. It's good. It's definitely winter now. It was quite warm, and then this past week it's been freezing. So I'm definitely in New York now. But yeah, so my studio is here, and I live and work both in Bushwick and slash East Williamsburg.
Great. Well, yeah, so I'm a huge fan of your work, by the way. And a friend of mine, probably maybe it was about 2 years ago now, sent me your Instagram. And yeah, I just felt it was like super fresh. And not only was, or is the design very progressive and innovative and just pretty amazing, I felt there was a kind of a really deeper message in terms of what your work was doing. And what you were expressing. And in this world of kind of mass consumerism, it's kind of clear that we need to sort of rethink how we're approaching things. And I felt the way that you were sort of reimagining specific materials and everyday objects and giving them a whole new life in the form of shoes and objects, I felt that this was the beginning of where things were going to head to. And I do feel it's vital that, on a mainstream level, that we do start reimagining what we could do with what we already have, as opposed to constantly sort of consuming. But before we dive deeper into your work, could you just give us a quick bit of history on, who you are, and your story up until this point, and what led you to creating this extremely interesting body of work?
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it's kind of wild. I never really would have thought that I'd be working on my own doing these things. Like, if I had even told myself this, like, just a couple of years ago, I probably wouldn't have believed it. But yeah, so I'm from New Jersey, which is like right outside of New York. And so I grew up kind of like in the outdoors, in nature, loved exercising, loved all things sports. So that was something that kind of motivated me for school, for college, and then as well, I'm fluent in sign language, so I had a deaf boyfriend for quite some time, and so I actually pursued that in school. It's why I picked the school I went to. So I played lacrosse, and I was doing sign language for speech language pathology as a major, and quickly realized, I was more into like the arts and the aesthetic of sign language and kind of what that was like. And I started to realize like my style of learning and understanding was more visually. I love to like use my hands to create something or be able to make something on the computer and make something that's maybe wasn't tangible come to life. And so that's really how I started thinking about these things. And right after college, I landed an internship. I was working at Reebok, which was a really amazing experience to understand then footwear and apparel, which wasn't originally my plan. I was doing more graphics and social media things on the computer. So I ended up becoming a graphic designer at Reebok. And then that is really what introduced me to footwear, clothing, just honestly products, and to learn more about, I guess, the potential in those items that we use every day, which then opened up the doors to sustainability. But I'm sure we'll dive into that as well. But yeah, just I started to have such a love for product and just understanding why and how products are made. And also with that, being in a corporate environment and seeing the amount of waste and things that were created and samples and discarded items like on a regular basis really inspired me to start thinking a little bit differently.
Incredible. Yeah, I mean, my background is actually in fashion as well. I founded LNCC, which is a store in London, in 2010, and like yourself, I kind of just started discovering how damaging the industry was, and all of this stuff that I was buying for the store, the sort of fun quickly sort of evaporated once I realized how sort of bad things were getting, and learning that the fact that fashion was the second biggest polluter behind oil and gas, it really kind of left a pretty bad taste in my mouth. And that's essentially what led me on to, moving to Bali, trying to live more sustainably and things like that. So it's funny how, quite often at the beginning, you start doing something and the journey that you end up going on, it can often change. And I mean, that's interesting. You were talking about the sign language and how the ability to sort of like use your hands and try and translate that message in a different way led you on to, you know, the connecting the dots to design. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't really think about it even only until like more recently, but just like I had a really hard time in school growing up. Like I couldn't pay attention, like I really couldn't sit still. I had a lot of issues just with my grades and my parents and stuff. We were always fighting about my grades, and I like now I think about it and like the way that I learn and the way that I've like now as an adult kind of been able to retain information has really just been through like doing, through like visually watching someone else do it. And I mean, I think now having like access to YouTube and having just the knowledge and like podcasts, being able to like listen and like be able to apply that in a very physical, tangible way, I think has like change the way that I'm able to learn and understand things. So I do now as an adult, like looking at it, see the correlation of like why I liked sign language so much and how the stuff that I create now, it isn't so far, or it's not so disconnected from that. But I also think it was really interesting how you brought up LNCC and how like you were founding a store and then ultimately realized like the demise of like fashion and consumption and how it inspired you to go to Bali. I mean, I think that's really incredible and like such an amazing story for people that are like, I don't know, feeling the weird tension and struggle between like their job and like their own personal like moral compass.
Yeah, that's it. And I think I'm not sort of attacking fashion. I think as a system, things just need to change. And I think we all need to support each other in order to make that change, rather than kind of all of this finger pointing and criticizing. You know, yes, there's big problems. Yes, you know, it's pretty serious, of course. But I think, you know, doing these types of things, having conversations about it, but finding solutions rather than just attacking. I think that's one thing that I like, certainly for myself, that I the route I'd rather take, you know.
Yeah,
Rather than the kind of
sure.
extreme sort of behaviors that I'm seeing now, which I guess we do need to a certain level because it is a pretty extreme emergency. But in terms of your work then, so it started off as a passion project. You got into it through, you know, Reebok, learning about the products. At one point, did you discover, because I know you are an advocate for sustainability and it's an important part of your work, at what point did you sort of look at that and think, actually, there's a really important expression behind just the aesthetic here? There's more to this in terms of upcycling, reimagining what could be done with waste, that type of thing. At what point did that become apparent that that was very important to you in your work?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty early on when that came about, but it wasn't really my intention. Like, I think a lot of designers will now, which I think is really amazing to start a brand in a sustainable way or like take on a sustainable adventure for their business. But for me, it really started out of like pure curiosity and just making and wanting to create product and being surrounded by product. I knew that there was a problem because I saw at firsthand how much was being consumed and how much extra there always was. There was always so much excess, which really was the catalyst for me to start actually making these things. And it was really just like, could I make something? Could I take a shoe apart and reconstruct it in a different way? Or like, could I take an item that was in my house that I might have donated or got rid of? Like, could I use that for something else? And so I started doing that, and I didn't really think too much, I guess, about it until other people started being like, oh, what you're doing is called upcycling. Like, I had never even heard that term before, and that was like 2 years ago, and I mean, or a little bit more than 2 years ago, and that word's been around for a long time, but it always kind of had an interesting preconceived notion about what upcycling was and kind of the community that was into it. You didn't really see it as much on Instagram. Like, there's, I'm sure, people that were doing it, but it wasn't like so much on people's minds. But when I really started to like understand the more sustainability like through line of everything, I was like, wow, like this is amazing. Like, why aren't more people talking about this? There's so much potential. Like, I was just having such an amazing time creating these projects and seeing things that I had never seen before, and it was really inspiring me. So what really made me want to share it was because I was like, well, if it's inspiring me, maybe it will inspire someone else to think a little bit different. Because a lot of people have the same items. We all have old t-shirts, old jackets, old shoes. Maybe if I show them how it could be reinterpreted, they'll think about it themselves.
I guess what's different about your work from what I've seen, I mean, I've been looking at upcycling products for a while, and generally a lot of it looks upcycled, if that makes sense. And it kind of it's cool that people are doing it, but it's a bit DIY, and it's kind of fun projects. Whereas your designs seem to be very progressive, and it's definitely captured a large audience. And I feel that the creative approach you're taking, it could actually sort of change things in terms of it appeals to a wider sort of culture than just a few people who like recycling or like upcycling. It's kind of crossing all ends of the or hitting both ends of the spectrum. And the fact that you went in with a very strong design and then sort of then got deeper into the upcycling as a sort of like I wouldn't say a byproduct of that, but it's something you've sort of like evolved into over time, I think is a really good approach, rather than starting with this is an upcycling project and then a few people sort of who aren't quite maybe ready for that, I don't know what it is, turned away. The fact that just visually your stuff's so amazing, it seems to, yeah, I think it's kind of, for me, it's pretty vital what you're doing. I think it's really kind of making people rethink how, how we should be behaving and how we can look at what we already have to make something new out of it. So yeah, I think it definitely stands out, I think, to what from what else is going on there.
Thank you. That's such a nice compliment to receive because, like, yeah, I mean, it's something that is, I do consider that. And I mean, a lot of the things I do sometimes are unintentional, and it's just like purely ideas in my mind kind of being displayed through an actual object. But oftentimes I find, especially now that brands are approaching sustainability and trying to have that conversation, which I think is important and something that we actually, last time we spoke, mentioned about it's better for brands to, start somewhere rather than to like just keep putting it off. So even if it sometimes seems performative, like it's better that they're at least thinking about it or trying to tap into that space. And hopefully people like us can help guide them along the way. And like there's so many great resources. But oftentimes what I find to be one of the hardest things is like some of these brands and like fast fashion brands and brands that are just looking to get a sustainability capsule in, they focus too much on the word sustainability and like just, I don't know, the message is only just really pushing like look at us, look at our sustainable message, look at all these great things. But like they lose the design integrity and they lose like, I don't know, the interesting things about what makes those pieces. And so I feel like for me, I always try to put design first. And it like, when you look at my work, it just naturally is sustainable. Like there's no way around it. Like those are the materials, those are the objects that I use. And like you can have comfort in knowing that like I source my objects the best way that I possibly can and things are donated. I find things, I trash pick outside. I mean, but I always lead with the design as like the first and foremost.
Yeah, I think that approach is very important because hopefully we look back on this in 20 years' time and it will just be what everybody does. Like you, everybody, as human beings, we should all act responsibly. But ultimately, as a designer or as a creator, you also need to design things that people actually want and not just want to buy because they feel guilty. And I think that's the key in your approach of like making the design very progressive, kind of ensuring that first and foremost, it looks amazing, and then just by default, it's sustainable, or it's made from upcycled materials or waste materials or that type of thing. So I do definitely think that's the right approach. And on the subject of brands, then I've noticed you are working with some brands now. How did that come about, and what are you working on at the moment?
It's pretty wild. So when I first started making these projects, I was just choosing brands, and I mean, logos and branding is a big part of what I do and how I pick my materials. And I think coming as a graphic designer, I'm always like very brand centric and like, how can I display like a logo in a very compelling way? But with that, I was always really scared about like, what if these brands kind of come after me and they're like, why are you doing this? Or like, oh my, like, don't do that. Like, I was always worried about that. But I actually had the opposite reaction where brands were like, we've never attempted anything like that, or we never really thought to do that before. So, like, instead of kind of challenging me, or I mean, something that does happen occasionally, but is like, seeing the idea and then using it for themselves, they'd rather actually work with people like me and collaborate together to understand like, how are you doing these things? Or like, can we apply that in some way to our own, inner workings at our company? So yeah, I mean, I've had so many amazing project opportunities with some of the brands that like I've looked up to my whole life, like Nike and Adidas, and I've had collaborations even with Reebok, which was so amazing to kind of make it come full circle from working there to having a collaboration with them. And then more recently, I did a collaboration with Crocs, which was another interesting approach because it was something that I never really thought I would do because it was something that was produced in their factory. It wasn't a one-off piece, which is I usually, if I work with a brand, it's me coming up with solutions for them or, concepts or even a small capsule that's maybe 10 pieces. But to create more than just a couple of pieces that people could buy, I really wanted to make sure like the narrative was that people could buy this and own it and be like responsible about the way that they buy it. And so like limited quantities, recycled packaging, like really working with Crocs to understand like what are your future goals and can we align on these things? Like let's start here and like how much more can we build off of? So I've had some really amazing opportunities to work with these brands and it really is such an honor. And then now I feel like I can help them come up with solutions hopefully going forward and I could be someone they could rely on for if they are struggling getting into the sustainability space or upcycling or even implying some type of like circularity model or something,
Wow, that's incredible how you're influencing sort of big brands in order for them to look at themselves. And I mean, it's great the fact that they're open to making these changes. I think it's obviously about time that they do that. What do you feel when you are working with the Nikes, the Crocs, and these sort of huge brands that are turning over billions and billions of dollars? Of course, what you're doing is very artisanal, and it doesn't lend itself to being, let's say, scaled up. And a lot of these brands, they're about scaling. That's what they do. And that doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with sustainability, globalization, mass volume. Is that something which regularly comes up when you're working with these brands? Are they sort of constantly looking at how can we scale this? Do you think that's one issue that's kind of holding a lot of these brands back?
Yeah, and I mean, that's where I kind of feel like I sit in an interesting place because, coming from that side, coming from corporate and seeing like the agenda and how big of a machine it is and like how long these brands have been around. Like it's not like these brands just started a couple years ago. Like some of these brands are like almost 100 years old. It's crazy. So there's just a lot of practices and models that are in place that aren't going to change overnight. And that's something that I feel like sitting somewhere in between, I can help them and then also help the consumer that's like, well, why don't you just change what you're doing? Like, if you know it's bad, just fix it. When it's like in actuality, it's like they've done it this way for so long to just, change the way that they've done everything is like, that's a big ask. And as much as that would be the most ethical and amazing thing for them to just, change everything and make everything 100% sustainable, it has to roll out. It has to be a plan. So that's hopefully where I can come in and, talk with these brands, at least find ways that they can, do take back programs, find ways to start with small capsules with recycled materials. Can you actually take back items and patch them up, which a couple brands, I mean, are doing that. Patagonia is doing that. Arc'teryx is doing that. Brands that can take back things, repair them, have a repair shop, and then get them back or take them back to their factories, break them down, find ways to use those scrap fabrics. Not everyone is doing that yet. And so it seems like that's more of the way that I see things are going, or brands starting there, at least implementing some of those types of models. I mean, it's going to be a while until we see like fully sustainable across the board. But I think if they're starting with, that, and then also with technology, which isn't something that like, I'm more on the upcycling side of it, but there's a lot of amazing designers that are building new materials and technologies like leather made out of mushrooms and all these amazing things, like probably something that you're more familiar with than I am being surrounded by nature, but like finding different solutions from the start of it. But I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can tackle it, and I think my expertise right now lies within the upcycling world of how to make something beautiful out of something that otherwise you would think is trash. It's just how do you scale that? And that's something that's, I don't have a clear answer, but I think the more that I've talked with people and the more that we have these conversations, the closer to an answer we're going to get.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a great start. Brands are talking about it. They're looking at people like you who are doing radical things with waste. And what it's starting is a conversation. And all of a sudden, that conversation is now creating a trend. And what a great trend, right? It's not just some sort of throwaway thing that we've had in the past of aesthetics and, plastic looking things. This is kind of like a really cool trend. And whether brands like it or not, they're going to have to change because young people come through today, they're just not going to want to buy into brands that don't, frankly, they don't care, So the fact that brands are starting to look at this, looking at waste management, and then I hope at some point they go, actually, this is a really, I imagine from their perspective, they're probably going to see this as an opportunity of could we innovate and do something that crazy where we do invest $1 billion or whatever it is into making this new material which is fully biodegradable or, so the waste that comes off that is going to biodegrade anyway. So maybe that's where we need to get to, but right now we're kind of in our infancy. I mean, the mushroom leather is one thing. Funnily enough, I am actually working with that at the moment, and it's great, but it's still very much in its infancy. It's like you couldn't just replace every pair of shoes now with mushroom leather because there's not enough people doing it, and B, it's still very much it's an experimental phase. It's kind of like a new thing, and ultimately, it's nature. It's very kind of like trying to control nature is quite difficult, for
No,
that
for
type of
sure.
volume.
And also just quickly, just to on that is I think something about upcycling too, and as much as I do find it so important to come up with those new technologies, and I have a lot of friends within that space, and it's always so amazing to hear about the plastic bottles, like the parlays and all these amazing things. But we have so much waste already here. And that's where upcycling is really important because all that stuff isn't just gonna vanish. We're burning it and creating more carbon and emission in the air because of it. So how can we tackle what we already have here? And then as we go forward, find ethical ways and new innovations to be able to make things from scratch. But first, let's think about the things we already have in our own personal consuming habits, which is another form of sustainability that we don't always think about.
Absolutely. I mean, I was reading recently an article which was saying there's already enough plastic in existence to last us for the rest of time if we can put it into a closed loop system. We don't need to make any more. We have enough to constantly keep regenerating it for a growing population. But the problem is we've already discarded it. It's already the bottom of the ocean. It's already in landfills. And so it's kind of like we've really got to learn from the past. And I hope that the pandemic, this disruption we're in, it's causing us to sort of shift the narrative a bit and gives us some sort of space and some room to kind of rethink and rebuild on how we can sort of do things better, So I am hopeful, and I think the work that you're doing and other people within the community, I think it's becoming increasingly more exposed to a wider audience. And I do feel this is where things are going, and brands know that it's at the top of the agenda. It's just how fast can they catch up because they need to learn. And I guess that's why you're going to do pretty well of well not you are doing well, but you're going to do even more well in the future because it's kind of innovators as yourself that are really going to come in and help make that change. So it's pretty incredible what you're doing. And on a level of, I mean, I hate the word consumer, but on people who are sort of buying products, are you seeing a shift in terms of, are you seeing more attention on what you're doing? Do you feel that this sort of like notion of moving more into sustainable practices is becoming a bit more widespread? Like since you started in 2018, up until now, are you seeing kind of more and more people getting into this?
Yeah, I have straight up I've the entire the rise I think just through social media honestly and the DIY, anyone could take this on as a hobby and create something from it and everyone's interpretation of it is completely different, which I think is what makes it so special because there's a lot of other upcycling artists and we don't look anything the same, and I've seen so much more of that popping up, which I think has inspired people to shop a little bit more local and community based. I mean, there's a lot of reselling apps that are happening right now that's more of a community rather than a social media or something. It's like, or like it is I guess like Depop would be a good example, because it's like a lot of young people that are like flipping their closets and like styling it in a way that looks so cool, when otherwise, like if you saw that on a shelf somewhere, like you saw it in Goodwill, you might be like, oh, it's okay, it's fine. But like as soon as you see them like styling it and they connect and like you guys could like talk about it, become friends, like local meetups. I mean, not so much in the COVID age, but I know a lot of people that were like selling things on these apps that would do like meetups and like basically sell their closets and do like swaps, which I think is really cool. So I don't know, I feel like Gen Z and like younger millennial, and I mean even like millennial, and some my parents are like have been so interested in this. Like they're boomers and they don't really get social media, but they're like more open to sustainable choices, I think, and like more, I think, aware of their consuming habits once I like had talked to them about it. I'm also very active on TikTok, which is something that is, it's a very, very young audience, but I see the desire to like want to make a change, and this like sense of like, well, it's, I don't know, secondhand isn't the word that it used to be. Like secondhand fashion, like just a couple of decades ago, seemed like, oh, it's someone else's used clothing. Like I don't want to wear that, or like just the preconceived notion of what we have about secondhand wasn't great. So, and now it's like it's almost like too much of a pendulum shift, where like gentrifying of thrift stores is a very real thing and something that I'm personally very aware of as well. But like shopping on eBay, shopping on like Poshmark, those apps and stuff like that has been a really incredible thing to see how many people are doing it and excited about it.
That's very cool. Yeah, I was chatting to a guy who lives here in Bali, Ichan, who's also upcycling, and I was asking him, about his motives and how he started. And he was sort of saying, well, buying new things, it's just not very cool anymore to like constantly be buying new stuff and then going out. It's now like, it seems that the kind of, certainly the scene he's in, but I'm seeing it globally, it's kind of just not like going out and buying a sort of like expensive 4 grand handbag and wearing it a few times. I think that's going to be a bit of a thing of the past, it's kind of not interesting to people anymore. And I think that mindset has to shift,
Yeah.
it's just kind of like how are brands going to survive that? I think they need to start getting incredibly creative,
Yeah,
to sort of
I agree.
navigate through this sort of paradigm shift that we're in of sort of the younger generation who just aren't going to accept this crazy consumerism type of ways anymore,
Yeah, agreed. I mean, and this is like kind of a very deep level of it too, but I saw a little bit of like a weird, I don't know, futuristic way of fashion during the pandemic, as many people did, but like Animal Crossing became very popular during this time, which is like, I don't know, a game for Switch, and you can download clothing for your whatever characters, which I'm seeing a lot more of, is people like doing more self-expression through like avatars and things on the computer. Not a world that I'm so much involved in, but like I'm always trying to keep my eye out for like trends and things that like younger people are into. And like my clothes were created digitally for people's like animals to wear in this game, which I thought was really crazy, because like people can't own my clothing because I only make one of ones or one-off pieces. But the fact that they were able to wear it in this like virtual world, I thought was really interesting. So kind of a weird thing, but it could be another form of like a sustainable version of fashion when it's done online. And if that's how kids are going to express themselves, then like that's cool.
Wow, yeah, I'd never really thought about it like that. I mean, I have seen those avatar characters and people sort of recreating themselves, and the fact that thinking about it in that way, that, well, that need to express how we look to the world, it could be done, digitally, and you could buy those expensive handbags or like what you're saying, your shoes, which you cannot buy, and a lot of people will want them. So it's, if you can get that on your own little character digitally and release your creative expression that way without sort of harming the planet, I think that's a pretty cool thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very like Black Mirror kind of vibe, but like, I don't know, I'm kind of here for it. Like, I'm open to all forms of like, I don't know, the future of fashion and how we are gonna, perceive fashion in X amount of time. And I mean, digital and technology has only risen, so I could imagine that that will continue. So, and I mean, like, same with esports, that's gonna be like whatever it is, like the main sport of the entire world is now a digital form of playing a sport. So it's pretty crazy to think about that, but might be something that we could have another podcast about in like 10 years and see how it's
Yeah, we
going.
look back and say, remember when we didn't really understand what it was, and now it's the only world we exist in.
Yeah, we're all just in like our headsets.
I mean, it is quite scary in terms of like where that could lead to, because I feel a lot of times with these technologies, and I guess you're seeing it now with social media, whereas in the beginning it's very exciting, it connects people, and it's kind of opens up new possibilities of reconnection and socializing and those types of things. But then over the course of time, it's then starts to become quite harmful. People start getting addicted, and then people lose touch with what's real, and they don't. Then you lose the physical connection with people. So I feel like these technologies, they're very sort of short. It's kind of like short-term thinking. They work for a really short period of time, and then they generally can quite often become harmful. And that's the same with a lot of things. Like even now, the things like the airplanes, which are incredibly useful to get us all around, but then we're seeing how harmful they are for the environment in terms of the gas. So we've kind of constantly got to keep trying to change things and innovate to get to the next stage. But yeah, I think technology is definitely, to me, it's good in the short term, but not so good in the long term. Without sounding like a real tech, what's the word? Like, I'm not like anti-tech, but I do feel like, yeah, it doesn't really work in the long term in terms of us being human living organisms. But I often wonder what is it we're trying to do with technology? Are we trying to, with this constant need to keep evolving technology to a stage, are we trying to like get back to the roots of the unknown of being a human being, and we're trying to sort of like get to where we came from? Or there's some subconscious need to constantly evolve and recreate these technologies to kind of get us back to where we once belonged or something. Yeah.
I mean, if they keep evolving it, there's going to be no humans and it's going to be only technology. So it's kind of scary to think about. But yeah, I mean, that's where it's like we can be using the technology for good. And like we were saying, with all these innovations for new materials and new compounds and stuff like that, like there's definitely a need for it. But I mean, there's something beautiful about like the natural processes as well, and being really in touch with yourself and not having to rely so much on, I don't know, validation through the internet and all these things that come with technology. But I'm somewhere in between it, because if it wasn't for Instagram, if it wasn't for having that audience, I don't think I would have this opportunity to make this my job. So finding balance between the two, and definitely as this grows, and as like for me, my social media platform has grown, the less that I've wanted to actually be on it. I think it's just a lot of pressure. It's kind of scary to get validation from everybody else. Like, measure your success through likes is kind of a scary thing. So the more that I've gotten away from it, the better mentally and the more creative I've felt. So gotta keep yourself in check.
No, you're right. I mean, there's definitely pros and cons, and the pros are you can share amazing things that maybe wouldn't have got shared before, and they can pick up traction. And then obviously the bad things is, as you're saying, it's causing mental stress, or it's kind of like people are getting addicted and that type of thing. But yeah, I guess that's the human condition of order and chaos, and we've always got to try and maintain the balance in between. But you kind of put it like right now, the world is in a sort of a moment of chaos. But what will happen is we'll catapult back into order, and we'll hopefully see some amazing. We'll have an amazing period post COVID where we all kind of reconnect again, and we all reimagine how the world will be, and hopefully we can redesign a better future because of it. So yeah, we'll see. But definitely, in times of disruption, big ideas grow. So I hope this time of disruption, we see these new innovations, and yeah, we'll see some light at the end of this tunnel, and we can start moving forward. As you mentioned there, sort of the fact that people are learning, people are trying to educate themselves on how to do things better, and we are in that stage of kind of it's in its infancy. People don't know sort of how to do these things. In terms of what you're doing, I know there's a lot of people kind of looking into it, they're interested, but they just don't really know how to do it yet. Like, have you got any advice for people that maybe want to upcycle or looking at the types of work you're doing and like to kind of start at home? Where would somebody that doesn't maybe have the technical skills, how could somebody learn? Is there any places they could do that? Is there anywhere online? Like, have you got any advice basically for anybody that wants to start upcycling?
Yeah, I mean, if like the interest is the biggest thing, and like honestly, the technical skills isn't something that you need to start. And I didn't know how to sew, I didn't know how to create things like before I started doing all this, but like I felt passionate about it, and I had kind of a vision for like there's something here, there's something within this space. So if you're looking into getting into upcycling, I always say like take a look at what you have, like take a look at the things in your house, and not just like the easy things like the old t-shirts, like look in like your medicine cabinets, like bottles, like things, like literally like what's in your trash, like your recycling bin right now that you haven't taken outside. And like, can you start with that? Can you find something that's in there that like, you know, you can take a bottle, cut the top off of, make a plant holder, you know, like very, very bare bones of creating something just to start understanding like shape, material, and just overall like what you want to get out of it. I think the more projects that I've done, and every project for me like is a learning experience, and every material that you use is so different. So it is familiarizing yourself with all these different things. I mean, there's a ton of videos on YouTube that can teach you how to sew and can teach you how to make things. I mean, endless amounts of information, but it really comes from like, you know, yourself and just wanting to see things in a different way, and like really teaching yourself to look at trash as a treasure and be able to use it for, you know, something else other than its original context. I like to sometimes take like sketching as a first approach. Even if you're not good at drawing, sometimes it helps if you take like a very specific shape, which is something I do a lot with like sandals. So I'll take like a sandal strap, and like we all kind of know what that looks like. Not to use my bill here, but like this is essentially a sandal strap. We all know what it is. So like what can fit in that shape? I'm sure you could take a water bottle like label and fit it into that square. You can take, you know, food packaging. You could take anything that's fits into that shape and then create a new shoe out of it. So think about that, and like that's a very easy term, but there's a lot of different ways that you can then apply that to. You can make yourself then a water bottle holder. You can then make, you know, a hat. Like there's so many different ways that you could then start to look at things, but that's how I like to at least start and approach a project, is to just think about shape, think about what you have first before you go out and get something new. And then, you know, reach out to people. Look, there's so many great forms of inspiration through social media and Instagram if you're looking to get inspired online. I do workshops sometimes, mostly digitally lately, but used to be in person. I try to keep a pretty open forum on my page, and a lot of the people that are looking into getting started or have shown me things that they've made will message me. I can usually give feedback or at least create conversation within the comments of the things that I'm making. So there's a lot of really great people. I can send you even a list. I don't know where this is going, but for you to include for some amazing creators, there's this guy, Zero Waste Daniel. He's a really good resource for like understanding how to use every scrap of everything to make something out of. He makes these amazing like appliques and stuff. And honestly, it's like the technical skills will come. It really just comes from like the volition to wanna make a change, to wanna create something. So that's my advice. I hope that that works.
Yeah, it's good advice. And you mentioned the workshops you're doing. Where can people find more information on that? Are they available online, or where can people watch your workshops?
Yeah, so I've done a couple now digitally. It used to brands and people would help host them, which has been such an amazing part of working with brands as well, is to have like a sponsor essentially and have a brand provide materials that they have, like dead stock materials and stuff. But I've done a couple online now. I'm actually working with the Slow Factory. And so I plan to have a couple more next year. We just had one at the end of November. That was really fun. We used plastic bags to create, like we heat pressed them to create other forms of materials and bags and stuff. So that was really fun. But I'm gonna have a couple of shoe workshops that are free and open for people to join in the new year. So on my social, I usually keep up to date on when people can sign up and join. And then occasionally I'll do like live and open discussions for people to just come on and ask me questions. But I don't have all the answers, but I can hopefully help assist with some questions and just jumping off points for people.
Great. Yeah, I tried to watch the Slow Factory one and I think I missed it because of the time zones. And then I don't think it's been archived online yet, has it? Or I couldn't find it. I
I'm
couldn't
not
find it.
sure. I think they're putting up the rest for the year, but they should be available where you can go on and join to watch it. But I'll definitely keep you posted for when I do them because they're really fun, and the more people that come, like the better, because it's always a good time to see like what everyone's making, and like honestly, what comes out of it is always the best part too, because people will share like they're like, oh, whatever I learned in the workshop, I applied to my own projects, and thought about this after, and look what I made from that. So it's really about keeping a conversation going and just getting people together. But that's where it starts, but not where it ends.
Great. And your work, it's very conceptual, and it's a lot of it is kind of, I mean, I see it more as kind of art pieces than obviously things you can sort of wear every day. And do you see yourself sort of moving into this more sort of conceptual kind of art side in terms of to further get this message across? Like it does feel to me like it's something which could sit in a museum or a gallery or yeah, do you see yourself sort of moving more into that, or is it kind of very much more like within the fashion space, or are you just kind of blurring those lines, which obviously you are doing.
I do feel somewhere in between, and like I get that question a lot because it's blurry, and everyone interprets it a bit different. And I do feel like personally I'm in more of an art space than I've ever been, because this really isn't it was never supposed to be a brand. Like I never wanted to create more waste that went into the world and like make an item and then find a way to mass produce it. Like that wasn't really ever the intention. And the goal of my work is to just get you to think and get other people to want to make things and inspire people. So I think that sits more in an art space. I think just the fact that my medium happens to be fashion and footwear, people get confused. So it's usually like most of my DM inquiries are like, where can I buy this? Or like, there's this sold out on your website when my website's really a portfolio. So like I am trying to like help people understand like what the purpose or the intention of the things that I make are, but I like to leave it open. Maybe sometimes it could be something that could be made or at least inspire a new type of technology or a new design feature for a product that someone makes. So
Yeah, well, it's definitely
open,
capturing or cap
open.
yeah, it's definitely capturing people's attention, that's for sure. Like people are gravitating towards it, and obviously because of your work, you've amassed this huge online following. I mean, the following that you've gained, I mean, was that just a pure organic thing through social media, people sharing, or was there any key moments or key pieces that you made that really catapulted your work to a larger audience?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been like an organic thing in the sense of like, I never ever thought this would happen, and I always like warn people about this because like at any time people can see find your work. You could be making things for years and people don't see it, and then all of a sudden like it gets shared a couple times and then holy shit, it's like your life could be completely different. But there was definitely a couple of bumps along the way where it was like it was getting like it was organic. People were finding out about it, and I was really surprised because I was like, "This is pretty niche. Like, this is kind of a weird thing." And then like, more people were like art people and design people, but then also like climbing people because that's something that influences my work. Or like, I don't know, teachers. Like random types of groups were gravitating towards it, and I was like, "Oh, I guess that's a good thing if like many people feel like they can relate to it." And then I mean, there's been a few like projects I think that have really captured people's attention more than others, usually when I'm working with bras and food, tend to grab the consumer's interest. But yeah, I mean, I have fun with it, and I try not to put too much pressure on myself for social because it is really hard when you do amass quite a following because like, I don't know, my followers are my friends and I want to keep their interest and keep them like entertained, but at the same time, like, I want to go with what I feel like is right and what's working for me. So I try not to rely too much on like what people say, I guess.
It's a good approach because, and also you don't want to fall in that trap of going, this is what people like, and I need to do another, tennis ball shoe or whatever, because that's what people, you're kind of leaving that, you're not getting influenced by the, whatever you call it, the likes or the, what people are sort of sharing, and you're just sort of like, you're just following your true expression, your genuine expression. But yeah, I guess like looking into your work, as you mentioned about the outdoor sort of rock climbing type of aesthetic, you'll have an audience for that, and then you might have an audience that might like Haribo or these type of other things. So I wonder if you're sort of triggering these sort of emotional connections in different fields and attracting such different types of people because of that. It's kind of like, yeah, whether people are into fashion or shoes or food or tennis or sweets or or
It has a
glasses.
lot of different places, and like I like that. And like the funniest thing, I always laugh so hard about this, is like I'll get like very, very specific like companies resharing or reposting my pictures. So like just recently I did an earring that was dent like a thing of dental floss, so you can like pull it out and like floss your teeth. I had like 15 dentist offices that were like super small, had like 500 followers or like 200 followers, like a local dentist office in like Wisconsin or something, being like, don't forget to like floss your teeth today. So like things like that. Or like I did something with waffles once. I did like a whole vest with these like frozen waffles, so random. But like this cafe in Brooklyn was like, oh, we have like waffles fresh in the morning, like come to our cafe and like come get some food. So like it's really funny like who sees it and who picks up on it. And like for me, it's like I'm just creating this stuff and like you never know who's gonna see it, I guess.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, it's you're def well, as I said, you're definitely capturing people's imagination, and I feel, it takes that type of design and vision to really get people to rethink. You're capturing the attention, and then you're making people rethink. And I think it's vitally important work you're doing. It's incredible. So keep it up. And yeah, Nicole, it's been amazing talking to you. Great to connect. And just one last one. Any advice for any young designers coming through today that maybe want to create positive impacts with somebody with your experience and the type of great work you're doing? Have you got any advice, just general advice for young people coming through today?
Yeah, I mean, if you have an idea, even if it's weird, even if it's kind of out there, just try and make it and see what happens. Like it's such a cliche and such like a an easy take, but you know what? Like that's people's number one fear is like starting something new and trying something. So it's once you let that go, you'll start to see something beautiful, and it's like the purest form of yourself and your sense of creativity. So just explore all your crazy and wacky ideas because you never know what's going to happen.
That's good advice. Amazing advice. Okay, Nicole, well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It
Keep
was
up the
so
great
nice
work.
talking to
Keep inspiring us all. And I would love to hopefully see you in Bali one day. And
I hope so.
yeah, once this
Fingers
pandemic
crossed.
goes. But yeah, great to connect. And we'll catch up very soon. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, cheers.
Bye.
Bye bye. Thanks.